You ever notice how the food in this world doesn't satisfy you? You want this thing and you go and you pursue it with all that you are and you finally get it and you say, I finally obtained what I was after. And you're happy for a while, right? But it don't take very long and that happiness goes away. Well, I get a guitar. I get a new guitar, and for a while, the new guitar is just awesome. This is the greatest. I never thought I'd own such a thing, but pretty soon I'm pursuing another guitar. Because I'm never satisfied. I'm never content with the things that this world has to offer. It don't satisfy me.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church Podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark preached from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, in his sermon titled, Are You Hungry and Thirsty? And now, Brother Mark.
We're going to be looking in Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6. We've entitled this message, Are You Hungry and Thirsty? Are you hungry and thirsty? This morning, something dawned on me as I was eating my oatmeal. You want to be sure and keep the cinnamon separated from the hot, spicy stuff. Otherwise, you end up with Mexican oatmeal. So, yeah. Matthew 5, 6. Would you stand with me as we read out of God's Word? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Would you pray with me? Father God, fill our hearts with your Spirit as we seek your face. May your Spirit move in this place in a mighty way and draw us to you. Lord, with all that we are, we want you more than anything. So move now in our presence, and we'll worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church said, you may be seated. The Amplified Bible says it this way, Blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness are those who hunger and thirst for right standing with God, for they will be completely satisfied. My paraphrase goes this way. The people who receive the blessings of God's grace, those who receive God's mercy and love, those who receive God's divine protection, those who receive God's gifts through the Holy Spirit, those who receive God's provision in life, those who God works in and through, those folks are the ones who actively seek God. They seek His presence. They seek His Word. They seek the things in life that please God. They seek God's people. They seek God's Spirit. They seek God's confirmation and accolades. These seekers are the children of God who are satisfied and content in life because they are full of God. These seekers are the children of God who are filled with the Holy Spirit and have life and joy and peace. That's one paragraph. That's the largest paragraph I've ever written. Notice the promise of the blessing is conditional. The promise of the filling of God is conditional upon you seeking Him. You have to seek God if you want to be filled by the Spirit. To receive the blessings of God, you have to want them. You must hunger and thirst for them with everything you have. Pursuing God occasionally will end up with an occasional filling. I would say that if you're like me, there's always more room for God in your life. We must get to the place where we're not satisfied with occasional fillings. We must get to the place where we don't live life half full or running on empty. Jesus is not satisfied with our half full tank, nor should we be. There's a church in Revelations chapter 3, and they were half full. And Jesus said to them that they make him sick and he wants to spit them out of his mouth. You see, spiritual half-heartedness can creep into your life without you even knowing it. Somehow, some way, we get to the place where our pursuit of God is more like a snack here and there than it is like a buffet line. In order to get what God has, you have to want God more than anything else in your life. Does that describe you? Have you ever been hungry? Have you ever been hangry? You ever heard that word, hangry? That's when you're so hungry, you're angry. You're hangry. What did you do? Well, that's a stupid question. You found something to eat and you ate it, right? You satisfied your hunger. When you're hungry, it requires action on your part. You have to pursue food to satisfy your hunger. Have you ever been out doing something on a summer day and you got really thirsty? Did you go find a cup and stand there holding it, tipping it up like there was something in the cup and you were drinking it and you got your thirst satisfied? Well, no. Did you just go and find a TV show of people drinking and or listen to people drinking on the radio and you got filled with your thirst is quenched? No. No, your thirst was quenched when you went to the fountain and you filled your cup up and you drank until you were satisfied. Well, the same is true of God. You will never be filled by watching people worship at a church. You will never be filled by carrying your Bible around or keeping it on the coffee table by your chair. You'll never be filled by thinking about God now and then. You'll never be filled by wearing Christian T-shirts or Christian jewelry. Your hunger will never be satisfied by carrying around an empty plate, and your thirst will never be quenched by having an empty vessel. Listen, your hunger is never satisfied until you get food into your stomach, and your thirst is never quenched until you drink from the well. We should be a people who like spiritual buffets more than finger foods. Now, I think we've got used to finger food Christianity. You know, we go Sunday, we get a little bit of food, and then we might pick up something on Tuesday, and then there might be a special deal where we go through the week to something, and we might listen to a bot radio one day. And so we pick up these little finger foods along the way everywhere we go. But we should be a spiritual people that like buffets. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go to the buffet, I think I got to get my money's worth. Yeah? I don't even drink at the buffet because the liquids take room. And I want all the food that I can get when I get there because I'm going to get my money's worth, you know? And so, I don't know if you're that way, but I am. I eat all I can eat, and then some. And whenever I leave that place, I waddle out of there, and I'm miserable for the rest of the day. But I've been to the buffet. You know, that's how it should be with us and God and wanting the things of God. It should be like a spiritual buffet, right? We should fill ourselves to overflow. Things of God. That's what God wants for us. Malachi 3:10 says this about your finances. He says, when you pursue God with your money and your tithes and offerings, He'll open up the windows of heaven and He will bless you with more than you're capable of holding. That's like financial buffet. You ever wanted more finances than you was capable of holding? Just give it to God and He'll give it back more than you can hold. If you're going to be filled, if your thirst is going to be quenched, you must seek God with everything you have. Your desire for Him must be first and foremost in your life. What you want more than anything else is to be with God, to hear His voice, to be in His presence, to see Him at work, to be used by Him, to be with Him always. I've been watching the Olympics on TV, and Lori and I have, as something that you do when you get older. You watch the Olympics and the robo vacuum go back and forth in the house. That's our entertainment. So we've been watching the Olympics on TV. These Olympians, they're good. They are very good. They go down these steep, icy slopes with two boards strapped on their feet. Then they jump these high ramps and they spin in circles and flip end over end. And they land on these two boards again, and then they get this huge score. They didn't just go out there on the slopes one day and strap them boards on their feet and do all that stuff. It didn't come naturally for them. They had to work at it. They had to practice. They had to get in shape. They had to do this over and over again. They had to continue to go to the place where they could learn all the things they needed to know to be an Olympian. Well, Paul says it this way in Corinthians 9:24. It says, "Do you not know that those who run a race, they all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you might be the one that obtains the prize. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do not do it to obtain a perishable crown, but an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." He says, I work at it. I give it all. And I want to be an Olympian, a spiritual Olympian for God. That's what Paul was saying. Here Paul compares spiritual fitness to that of an Olympian. It takes discipline and time and extraordinary effort to pursue God in such a way that you will be filled. Luke 10 tells a story about two sisters. Jesus was coming over to visit these two sisters, and one sister was a worker, and the other one not so much. One sister was a worshiper, and the other one, well, not so much. Well, Jesus came to visit the two sisters, and one sister, she cleaned the house. She cooked all kinds of food for Jesus. She got everything ready and in order. And so when Jesus comes, he would see that she very much loved him because everything was clean and order, and she fixed all this great food for him. But the other sister, she didn't help at all. She just, when Jesus comes, she just sat down at Jesus' feet and listened to him tell stories and stuff. And so the one sister, she got all mad at the other sister and told Jesus, says, she hadn't done anything to help. And Jesus said, she's been sitting at my feet ever since I come here. She done the best thing that she could do. You see, it's more important that we spend time with Jesus than it is to go through all the motions of religious activity. Jesus is what it's all about. More than coming to church every time the doors are open, more than teaching a class or Sunday school, more than being a deacon and deaconing, more than keeping grounds or the building in good shape, more than taking communion, more than going on mission trips, more than any ministry that you could do, the most important thing you can do is spend time with Jesus. She has chosen the best thing. If you took and recorded the minutes, hours, and days in a week you spend with God versus the minutes, hours, and days in a week you spend doing other pursuits, how would your numbers add up? Would your numbers point to the fact that you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness? You know what? People in deserts are hungrier than people in Iowa. And you say, well, why do you say that? Well, Iowa has food and water, right? It produces corn, and there's lots of water. They get lots of water up there. But in a desert, they don't produce any corn. There isn't any water. If we took that analogy and we just looked at that, it says, what are the spiritual deserts of our world? The places where God is replaced with the things of this world is the spiritual deserts of this world. You could live in the most prosperous country in the world, but it could be a spiritual desert. You see what happens to believers in places where food and drink and all the things of this world are abundant. We become content with the things this world has to offer, and therefore we don't pursue God with the same vigor, with the same needs that people do in spiritual deserts. You ever notice how the food in this world doesn't satisfy you? You want this thing and you go and you pursue it with all that you are and you finally get it and you say, I finally obtained what I was after. And you're happy for a while, right? But it don't take very long and that happiness goes away. Well, I get a guitar. I get a new guitar, and for a while, the new guitar is just awesome. This is the greatest. I never thought I'd own such a thing, but pretty soon I'm pursuing another guitar because I'm never satisfied. I'm never content with the things that this world has to offer. It don't satisfy me. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy, but then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasures, the earthly things of gold, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of all of those who diligently seek him. God rewards people who seek him. You want rewards from God? You want the blessings that God has to offer? You want the filling of God? You have to seek him with all that you are. This is not a one-time seeking. Yeah, we often use that verse to help people find that Jesus is looking for them and wants to save them. But God continues to reward those who seek him all through their life. Proverbs 8:17 says, it says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. So what's the rewards of this filling that I'm talking about? Why should I go for this filling of God? Why should I be full? That's a good question. So I wrote down scriptures of what is the rewards of being filled with the Spirit. Well, first of all, rest. When we seek God, we find rest for our weary souls. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. How do we find rest for our souls? We go find Jesus. We seek him. We go to him. We sit at his feet. And he gives us rest. Secondly, life. When we hunger and thirst for God, our lives will be full. Amos 5:4 says, for thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. In Psalm 69:32 it says, the humble shall see this and be glad, and you who seek God, your hearts shall live. John 10:10 says, I have come that you might have life and you might have life more abundantly. You want abundant life? You want a life that's full? You want a joyful life? You want all the things that life has to offer? Then you want Jesus. You want to seek him with all that you are. Third, strength. When I am weak, he is strong. God's strength is limitless. Mine is aged out. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth and strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Psalms 105:3 says, glory in his name, and let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in His strength and seek His face always. Joy and gladness. When we seek God, when we linger in His presence, He revives our soul and our joy is made complete. I will enter His courts with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He gave me joy and gladness. 1 Chronicles 16:10 says, let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Psalms 40, verse 6, let all you who seek, you rejoice and be glad in you. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Deliverance. God never forsakes those who diligently seek Him. Psalms 34, 4 and 5. I sought the Lord and He answered me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. Psalms 145, 18 through 20. The Lord is near to all those who call upon Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and He saves them. Discernment, understanding, and wisdom. Everything we're trying to understand in this world, every cure we're trying to develop, every vaccine we're trying to find that would work, every bit of wisdom and understanding comes from Almighty God, because it is His handiwork. He created it. He knows exactly how it works. And if you want to know how it works, you seek God, because He knows. He's full of wisdom. He's the engineer. He's the master craftsman. He's the designer of the universe and all that's in it. So He already knows everything we're trying to figure out. Proverbs 2, 3 through 6 says, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. How do you get that? It says, if you cry out for it, if you seek it, then God will give it to you. Hope. This is the biggie. Without hope, you're doomed. You'll fail. You will give up. Hope is your reason for getting up tomorrow. Hope is the last thing that ever leaves you. And when it leaves you, you're done. It's over. That's why it's so important to place your hope in God. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So how do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? What's the process? How do we go about it? That's a good question, and that helps me finish the sermon, so I'm glad you asked. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we keep our eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God. Listen to this verse. Luke 11:34. The lamp of your body is your eyes. Therefore, if your eyes are good, your body's good. Your heart's good. But if your eyes are bad, you've got a bad heart. We need to see everything in the light of Christ. Whether we're at work, we're at home, we're recreating, we're sleeping, we're eating, we're just hanging out, we should see everything as spiritual. You are in your job because God placed you there. You are in your home because God raised you up to be part of that family and make a spiritual difference in that place. You are hunting, you are fishing, you are shopping, and God will use you in them places where He has guided you to make a difference where you're at. They're called spiritual opportunities. But you have to have the eyes to see that everything you do every day is spiritual. It's all about God. And if you're in that workplace, you're a witness for God in the workplace. When you're in your home, you're a witness for God in your home. When you're out there doing whatever you're doing, you're a witness for God. And God will bring people in your path. And He expects you to tell the story. He expects you to have a testimony. I have found that when we see all things through the lens of God's will, when I see my workplace as God working there, when I see vacation as a God-appointed trip, when I see my home as a gift from God, I have many aha moments. You ever have an aha moment? A spiritual aha moment? You're going along through life, and all of a sudden, this circumstance happens, and that circumstance happens, and then God does this huge work over there, and you're like, whoa, aha. He was working right there, and I didn't even see it. It's this aha moment. But when we're looking with spiritual eyes, we see these more and more. They become more and more evident in our lives because we're looking with the spiritual eyes that God placed in us. So here's how you hunger and thirst. And if you want to go back to this, it's in Colossians 3. And this whole chapter is just an awesome place to dwell, to know how to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I'm just going to read some of the highlights of Colossians 3. Verse 1 says, if you're raised with Christ, you seek the things above. Don't seek the things of this world. They have no value to you. You have a value that's far above the things of this world. You seek the things above. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. Verse 2. Verse 5. Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, and idolatry. Put them to death. Get rid of them. They have no use in your life. They're worthless. Put off anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language. Quit talking that way. Because people hear the way you're talking and it hurts your witness. Have a clean mouth. Live a clean life. Live a godly life. And then it tells us in 12 what to put on. It says, put on tender mercies. Put on kindness. Put on humility and meekness and long-suffering. Bear with one another and encourage one another. In verse 14, put on love. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Be thankful. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Use godly wisdom. Teach, encourage. Sing psalms and hymns. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in verse 17 in word or deed, whatever you do, everything you do, do it as unto God. And everything you do, do it as if you were doing it for the Lord. So when you go to work, work like you're working for God. When you go to school, study like you're studying for God. Everything you do in life, do it like you were doing it for the Lord. Verse 22, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of your inheritance. For you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a higher standard. The bar is a lot higher if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because you have set your mind on the things above and not on the things of this earth. Conclusion. Are you hungry and thirsty for God? Do you have a hankering for a hunk of God's buffet. Maybe this morning you've never tasted the goodness of God. You've never come to the table. Jesus is waiting to give you food so that you'll never be hungry again. He's wanting to give you the water or you'll never thirst again. He's looking for you, and He's been looking for you for your whole life. To forgive your sins, to come in and live inside of you and have fellowship with you every day and be your Lord and Savior. But He will only give you the bread of life and the water from the well that never runs dry if you seek Him and ask. He won't just give it to you. You have to ask Him for it. The Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Believer, are you running on empty? Maybe half a tank? Has your joy waned and your peace slipped? When was the last time you pursued God with all that is within you? Might I suggest it was the last time you was starving to death? It was the last time you knew if you didn't get a glass of water really quick, you were doomed? Listen, we don't have to wait until the divorce papers come out to call on God. We don't have to wait until the pink slip comes out at work to call out to God. We don't have to wait until we get handed down the verdict from the judge to call out to God. We don't have to wait until the diagnosis from the doctor to call out to God. We cry out to God because His blessings are here and now. And He wants to fill us to overflowing right now. He calls us all to pursue Him with everything that we have. Would you stand and pray with me? Father God, this morning maybe someone's heard for the very first time about Your rich blessing, Your salvation. And they've never tasted Your goodness. Lord, I pray this morning that they would pray and ask You to come in and save them. Forgive them of their sins and be their Lord. They believe that You're the Son of God, that You died for them, and that God raised You from the dead. And they want You to come and live within them and be their Lord and Savior and take them to heaven someday. And if they would pray that prayer from their heart, You would save them because You say, whoever cries out to You will be saved. Lord, as believers, we subtly let the things of this world creep in and take away our desire to pursue You with all that we have. Lord, I pray that we would have a new desire, that we would have a revival that would take place within us that would cause us to want to pursue You with all that we are, that You might fill us to overflowing. And Lord, as we come and take that desire and pursue You with everything and You fill us to overflowing, may the overflowing spill out on those around us. God, I pray You'd have Your will and Your way during this invitation time. Work in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to be singing page 294.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe You died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in Your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in You alone for my salvation, and I accept Your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.